Our second reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. Listen now for God's word among us. As Jesus taught, he said, Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had to live on. This is the word of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, Jesus was teaching in the temple, and his words were hard to hear. But within them, there was life. As Jesus stood before the people and taught in the temple, he offered life. Not only in his words, but by his very presence. Because Jesus is life. And the way that he represents is the pathway to life. Before the scene in the passage I just read, Jesus has been in the temple teaching, and the Pharisees and Herodians, representatives of the religious leaders, were coming and trying to entrap him. They were trying to find a way to catch him in his words. But again and again, Jesus, in his teachings, astounded them, and they could not trip him up. They couldn't catch him off guard, though they would keep trying. And so Jesus, at the beginning of the passage today, speaks really hard words. And they're hard because Jesus was continually willing to question the religious authorities and the establishment and particular religious practices that didn't honor God because they weren't serving the very people that God loves. They are hard words, very hard. And those words are for us too. They're for me too. If we allow ourselves to sit with those words, if we allow those words to sink into us, we will, however, be invited into new life. Because this Jesus who is life wants to invite us to honor God by serving the very people that God loves. So Jesus says, Beware of the scribes who like to wear long robes and be seen in the marketplaces. Beware of the people who want the best seats in the synagogue. These words give me pause. In part because I know here I am standing before you. I am one of the only people in this room wearing a long robe, though I'm not alone. Right? How easy it is for any of us leading the church, religious people, to try to seek out a name for ourselves. But not just the obvious leaders. How easy is it for any of us to want to find the best seats in the church, to make a name for ourselves, or even to make a name for ourselves collectively as a congregation. How easy it is to fall into that place. But I think there is good news even among these hard words, because we also see Jesus not only teaching, but going to sit down in that very temple and to observe. And if we follow his gaze and we see the ones that Jesus longs for us to see, we will be invited into new life, because the way Jesus invites us into is life for all of us. So Jesus, after teaching, he sits down and he observes and he sees a scene unfold before him with a huge juxtaposition. What he sees are people offering their money into the treasury of the temple. Now, the treasury of the temple had these big metal receptacles. They were shaped like trumpets. So when people came to offer huge sums of money, what they would do is fling those coins into those receptacles, and it would make this huge clanging sound, which brought attention to them, which gave them a name. In another place in Scripture, Jesus says, "Don't have the trumpets go out and sound out before you." Maybe he's referring to what's going on in the temple. They throw these huge sums of money, and it makes a big racket and a big noise. But Jesus sees someone else. Maybe nobody else saw her. Jesus sees a widow who comes with two small copper coins. She just places it in those receptacles. It barely made a tinkle. But Jesus saw her and noticed her and loved her and revered her. Because he says to his disciples, "Look at this one. These people have been giving large sums of money, but I tell you, she has given more. She has given all that she had to live on." And I think that Jesus honored this woman and honored this beautiful gift. But I also think there's some tragedy in it. I've heard many sermons that uplift this woman, and we should. I've preached those sermons too, but I think there's tragedy in the story as well. Do you remember what Jesus said about these scribes wearing big robes and wanting a name for themselves? He says, "They devour widows' houses." So what he is watching is a woman who is authentically and faithfully giving out of her own good gift, and yet he also knows that there are people in his view, who are willing to take it. There's tragedy there also. It makes me wonder if Christ saw a bit of foreshadowing here, because isn't he also the one that gave all? He gave it willingly. He gave his life freely, but he also gave it to those who were willing to take it. There is beauty and gift. And there is tragedy too. But there is good news, because Jesus notices this woman. He sees her worth. He sees her value. We don't know her name, but he knew her. Jesus honors the names of many people who go invisible at times when the world is willing to take. And even sometimes when we or I are willing to take. Years ago, I lived in Southern California, where the weather was very different. And sometimes I would go to this place down in Los Angeles because I just wanted to be in the presence of people who were living this way. So let me tell you a story about an interesting place with an interesting name. It's called Homeboy Industries. Has anyone ever heard of this place? I don't know. There's a man named Father Greg Boyle. He's a Franciscan priest. And when he was younger, in his 20s, he was assigned to a parish in Boyle Heights. Now, if Los Angeles is sometimes thought of as the gang capital of the world, Boyle Heights is the gang capital of the gang capital. He was assigned to this parish, and women came to him, mothers, in tears toward the beginning of his time there and said, We don't know what to do because our kids can't get to school. In order to walk to their elementary school, they had to cross gang lines. And so they didn't know what to do. Well, they started a school to solve this problem. But over time, as Greg Boyle got to know more and more of these young people, many of them teenagers in gangs, he began to discover these are not people who wanted to join a gang. These are people who were running from something and felt like they had nowhere else to go. And so they realized what they needed were jobs, jobs for these people who wanted to get out of the gang life or who were coming out of prison and who needed special care in this way with a new opportunity. So they formed Homeboy Industries, which is an organization that employs people working in bakeries, t-shirt making, tattoo removal, and a diner. And it's changed people's lives. Greg Boyle wrote a book called Tattoos on the Heart. It is one of my favorite books I've ever read. And he says at the beginning, the premise of this book is that there is no human life which is worth less than another human life. And so he tells story after story after story of these beautiful people, some of whom have been treated as though they are castaways. And so he tells this one story. I think about this as I think of a Jesus who knows names, neighbors with names. Greg Boyle sometimes goes to detention centers to talk with teenagers who are in prison, and he gives them his card, and he says, when you're out, please look me up. We can try to find something for you. So one day, he was approached by one of these young people, and Father Greg Boyle said, "Son, what's your name?" And he said, "Sniper." Greg Boyle said, "Son, I am sure that when you came out of the womb, your mother did not take one look at you and name you Sniper." "What is your name?" "Gonzalez," he says. "Well, maybe that's what they call you around here, but son, I want to know your name. What is your name? What does your mother call you?" And this young person said, "Napoleon." That's his first name, but it sounds very regal. Greg Boyle said, "Son, that may be your name, but tell me, you know, what does your mother call you?" And this young person kind of went inside himself and said, "Well, when my mom isn't mad at me, sometimes she calls me Napito." "Napito, son, that is your name." Greg Boyle says that part of the life of faith is coming to know people just like this beloved son so that we come to know who we really are, to know his real name from Sniper to Gonzalez to Napoleon to Napito, each one beloved in the eyes of God. And so it makes me wonder how we are called to live, how we are called to see the ones that Jesus sees and values. It makes me wonder how we are called to do that. Because there are many people who seem to go invisible at times. Men, women, and children living in poverty. People who are growing older and who are sometimes siphoned off and live in places where they don't have visitors. There are homeless teenagers. There are people coming out of prison. I wonder, toward whom is Milford Presbyterian Church called? I see so many beautiful things. As I said, I'm a pastor at large, so I lead services in many churches. And all the other churches do something like this, too, with the prayer cards. I've never seen so many prayer cards returned in a service where I have led. But these people have names, don't they? Neighbors with names that you care about. I heard this morning about what a big and beautiful endeavor it is when this church does Vacation Bible School. And I think about all those children with names that you know and love. And I think about children who perhaps we don't know yet, who might not ever show up to a program, but how can we go out and seek them? How can we find them? I think about the Operation Shoebox. Is that what it's called? The shoeboxes. I think about all these children a world away. Jesus knows their names. How might we be called to live in that way? Neighbors with names. See, another thing I see a lot in churches, locally, nationally, we're living in a time of rapid change, as you know. You know that the life of the church is changing in many ways, and a lot of young people aren't really coming back. And so I see churches nervous, kind of freaking out about that, and figuring out in this anxiety, which deserves a lot of compassion, how we're going to survive and what we're going to look like. Well, I think in that anxiety, we don't need to work toward making a name for ourselves. But perhaps what we need in this world are churches who spill out of the church to go and be with others. Have you ever thought about all the many powerful things we do in worship? One of the most powerful things we do is leave through the doors empowered to go out and serve. And we're not leaving church. That's where we're going to be church in this city and in this region and affecting those a whole world away through our giving. So I will be praying for you and for all our churches as we consider how to do this and to live into that sacred calling. Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows that you are beloved, and you are called to great things, as we all are. So let us pray together. Loving God, show us these names, these people that you notice, and help us to follow your gaze and to notice others as well, that we might be one body, that we might love sacrificially, that we might honor all people. Because as we live in that way, we will find life, and we will be accompanied by you, you who are life for us. We give you thanks, and we pray all of this in your name. Amen.